Let's now stand and sing our opening hymn together. It's been our theme hymn, will remain our theme hymn through our evenings of mission. 708, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Great words. Let's stand and sing them mightily as they deserve. 708.
Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. We come into your presence, and indeed we do give you all the praise and all the glory. What can we glory in? How can we boast in what we do? As sinners, we are dead in trespasses and in sins. There can be no response from us whatsoever. But we thank you for the gospel that gives life and gives hope. We thank you indeed for this another opportunity, this Monday night, to come into your house to enjoy your praises and to hear from your word once again. We thank you for this week of mission. And no doubt, like any mission, it will gather momentum as the nights go on. And we do thank you and praise you, O God. Thank you for giving us such a Savior. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. What a plan of salvation. Foolish in the eyes of the world, wise in the eyes of God. And we must humble ourselves. We cannot boast about anything. Paul said, God forbid that I should boast in anything else except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can glory in the cross tonight and all that Jesus has done. We're not saved by our own works, our own merits. We are saved by what the Lord Jesus has done, his work upon the cross. And so do bless this message, we pray, that goes forth from this pulpit night by night. The text that you've laid upon our hearts, that great text of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless this text to someone in our congregation tonight, we pray. And those listening in via the internet, we thank you for them. And we pray that you'll bless them tonight. So be with us this hour, we ask it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now tonight we were to have a soloist, Mrs. Beverly Murray from Lisburn. And this would have been her first time here, but she had an accident in her car tonight. Her car is damaged, and so she wasn't able to get here. So it goes to show how things can change, how plans can change. And no doubt she had her couple of pieces ready. She knew what she was going to sing when she came. But life can bring its changes. And it was too late then to do anything about it. And she's unable to be here. And I just thought of Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day brings forth. And yesterday, her mind may have been on her next singing engagement, which would have been in Ballymena Monday night. And she has been unable to fulfill that engagement. So there can be changes in lives. There can be sudden changes, and we have to learn from these things. And so we're just going to stand and sing another hymn. And after this, Nigel will read the scripture that he has chosen for tonight. Number 1000, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me.
Again, may I just say a big word of thanks to Brother Raymond for his kind words of welcome. And I was just sitting there in the minister's room, and he came in, and I think I must have been yawning. He says, "You can't be tired already." He says, "It's just the first night, so it's a bad job whenever the man's yawning before he's even got to the pulpit. But it's nice to be with you this evening. And we thank you for your prayers and remembering us and our travels back and forth. And we do trust that God will bless." Maybe you'd like to turn to your neighbour. If you haven't got a neighbour, turn your neck around and maybe see somebody. And just say hello to somebody. Maybe it's if they're close by or they're not so close by, just say hello to them anyway. And make them feel at home and welcome. That's great. Now don't get carried away. Now don't begin any big conversations now. It's just a wee hello and that's it. And maybe if you're following us on the internet, I'm not used to these sorts of things, but we give you a warm welcome if you're making the effort to join with us this evening. We're reading from John chapter 3, and we're going to be here, and we're going to read together the same verses for the next four nights tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And we're simply going to look together at this one text in verse 16, but we're going to read verse 14 to 18, just to tie it all together. And of John chapter 3, each evening, God willing, we're going to look at a different aspect of John 3 and 16. And this evening we're going to look at the aspect of God. And we trust that our eyes will be opened and an understanding as to who it is that we approach. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." We'll end our reading there this evening. And we know that God will bless his word to our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Just a few announcements. First of all, you're made very welcome to this Monday night. Monday night can be a prayer night for a mission, but I think that as the nights go on, it will gather momentum. And there are a few visitors in tonight, and you're made very welcome indeed. And let me just say a warm welcome to those who are listening in via the internet. A warm welcome to you, and thank you for tuning in to us. And yesterday we had around 200 who listened in. Now that is that's more than what we had in the service here, and yet there are others who were listening in to your service, and one of them was a man. I'm not sure if he was a young man or an older man from California. And Darren handed me this email from him tonight. And this man says, "From California, I couldn't sleep and found your live broadcast at 3 a.m. So that must have been for the morning service. Listening to your service was just what I needed. I have become apathetic in my Christian life. Hearing God's word through the music and through the message has inspired me to get my life back on track. Thank you." Isn't that very encouraging? And that's all the way from California. And that is a great encouragement to us. Maybe others have been touched the same way, we don't know. But our services are going out live each night, as they do every Sunday. And there are people who are in different countries of the world, in different time zones. So there you are, when we were here at 11, half 11 yesterday morning. There's a young man who couldn't sleep in California. And of all the thousands of churches that is on sermon audio site, here he found Ballymena Congregational Church. Or maybe just scanning through churches and church websites, and he found us. And the Lord has helped him. So that is a tremendous encouragement to us here. We're not having an offering as such each night, but there will be a retiring offering. There will be a plate at the door. Feel free if you want to give in to that. And so we're here tomorrow night and through to Friday at 8 o'clock, and others will be taking part each night. Mr. Jim Ferguson from Lisburn will be singing tomorrow night. He was here at the beginning of the year, and Jim's coming along tomorrow night. There's a time of prayer at 7:30 in the back hall here before each service. A Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning in the Adair Arms, there's a men's breakfast. I think this is the deadline tonight, maybe to put your name down for that. And I think there's been a good response to that. And again, Nigel will be along to speak. And then a ladies' lunch at, and it says there, 12 noon, but I think the time was changed to 12:30. And again, Nigel will be along to speak to that, to speak to the ladies. And so don't be worrying about paying anything. The church will look after that. It's a form of outreach to invite others along. And Sunday, of course, 10:15 Sunday school and Bible class, 11:30 or morning worship, when Nigel will speak again. And note again, the time of our evening service is not 6:30, but 8 o'clock, time of prayer at 7:30, and then the mission will amend at 8 o'clock. And so we trust the Lord will bless in all of these things. Now we're just going to sing our next hymn, and then Nigel will conduct the rest of the service. Number 773, with harps and with viols, there stand a great throng in the presence of Jesus and sing this new song. What a company of people. And I trust that you have a desire in your heart to be one of these people. 773.
Oh,
Before we turn around God's word this evening, let's just unite our hearts in prayer. And I don't know, for whatever reason or where you might be, whether here in the fellowship, here in the congregation, or whether listening in, we just want to still our hearts before the Lord. And I don't know what your personal need is, but maybe you, as you come listen to my voice, we pray earnestly that God might speak through my words. And it would be His voice that you would hear. And as you sit listening tonight, just in the silence of your heart, if you don't know Christ, just pray that God would speak to you this evening. And for those of us who do know Christ, let's just ask that God may bless and use His word. And as we mentioned to you on Friday night, that God may bring men and women to the cross. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask you, dear God, tonight that you will take the words of a man, and Lord, that you might anoint those words, and the words that this man might speak might be your words, might be your thoughts. And Lord, what we do speak, that these words might be empowered by the Spirit of God. We confess this evening, Lord, that we cannot stir men, we cannot cause men to think about their eternal destiny. But Lord, we believe that the Spirit of God can come upon the Word of God, and that Word can become dynamic, dynamite. It can make people come alive. And tonight, Lord, whatever the need is, those in our congregation, those listening along, we ask you, dear God, that you may just be pleased to come and open eyes and cause souls to see their need. And Lord, do this solely and completely for thy glory and thy honor. We do not and we dare not even try to touch thy glory, because, Lord, all glory belongs to thee. And it is to this end we ask in the precious name of Jesus that you would enable us and you would help us through him who is the third person of the Trinity. Come to us, Lord, intensify thy presence with us. We need thee more than anything. We confess this in our hearts, and we confess this openly and honestly, we need you. So help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Quite a number of years ago, in fact, it's just gone by 15 years back in April, my wife and I got married, and we had the great privilege of going to a place called Canada for our honeymoon. And it was quite a surprise to us, but while we were there, we went down to the Niagara Falls. As most people who go to Canada, if they go to this side of it, that's where usually they end up going, just as a great tourist attraction. And while we were at the Niagara Falls, we went on the Maid of the Mist. And I don't know if any of you ever been at the Niagara Falls, but the Maid of the Mist is just a boat whereby you get on, and then it takes you in, not just right under the falls that are coming over the edge from the American side of the water, but it brings you right up close. And you get this massive mist that's just constantly coming in upon you. But long before even we got to Canada, there was a man called Blondin. And Blondin made this great statement, and Blondin said that what he could do was if he put a tightrope from one side of the falls, Niagara Falls, to the other, he would be able to walk across. And there was many people laughed at him, and some people said he was mad. But most of all, they said what he would do would be what he was said he could do. It was impossible. It was not possible to be able to do it. Totally impossible. I want to speak to you this evening about what we have mentioned here in John 3 and 16. And I'm going to say something to you that you may think is completely false. You may even think it's heresy. But I'm going to say to you this evening that this God of whom we read about in John chapter 3 and 16, there are some things, and they are impossible for him to do them. Completely impossible for our God to do them. Now, we used to sing as a child a lovely little chorus, and not necessarily all choruses and all songs that you sing are theologically sound. For example, we used to sing a little chorus in Sunday school, and went something like this: "My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there is nothing that my God cannot do." Well, I have to be honest and say to you, that is not theologically sound, because there are some things that our God cannot do. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, or ever considered it, or ever really give it much time in your mind, but the reality is there are many things that our God cannot do. And it's not being false, it's being truthful, but it's the fact that they're impossible for our God to do. Now we're speaking here, whenever we speak about this God of John chapter 3 and 16, we're speaking about the Creator God. We're not speaking of any God, we're speaking of Yahweh, Jehovah. We're speaking of Him who was the God of Joseph and Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. We're speaking of this God who was the Creator. The one who in Genesis chapter 1, the scripture tells us in the beginning, God created man. But it also tells us that God said, let there be light, and there was light. This was the same God who created the great whales and every living creature. This is Him who put the stars in place. And astrologers tell us that if you look up, well, astrologers will tell us as they look through their telescope and as they're looking up into the space and as they're viewing up in there, they're seeing not just thousands of stars, but millions and millions of stars beyond galaxies and galaxies, and still some stars are yet to be found. And yet the amazing thing is that this God in John chapter 3 and verse 16 is the God who has a name for every star. So when we think of the vastness of this God and the greatness of this God, then you say to me, and I'm saying to you this evening, even though this God is vast and great and holy and pure, yet there are still some things that are impossible for God to do. And I'm going to leave you with just a number of them this evening, and I trust that through them, that not just will our minds come to understand, but if you don't know Christ, that you might see that some of these impossible things are for the whole purpose that you may be brought into the family of God. What's the first thing that I read in Scripture? Now, it's not that what I'm going to say to you is not something that's just man-made. It's actually what God says about Himself. And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6, this is what it tells me. It tells me that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. That's number one. Absolutely impossible for our God to lie. Titus chapter 1 verse 7 says, In hope of eternal life which God that cannot lie promised from the world before the world began. Now I'm sure here we see this. This is the first impossible, yet it's a truthful fact that our God cannot lie. Now why can He not lie? There are two things I'm just going to leave with you why He cannot lie. First of all, it's because of His character, and secondly, it's because of His covenant. Because of His character. His character is one whereby, of Exodus of old, we read, "Who is like Thee, O Lord, amongst the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness and fearful in praises?" Holiness is one of the essential attributes of God's divine nature. It, on one hand, is entire freedom from moral evil, and on the other, absolute moral perfection. So what the fact is, because God is pure, because God is sinless, because God is perfect, that is why He cannot do what we frequently do. He cannot do it. Psalmist says, "To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." So one of the reasons why He cannot lie is because of His character. He is pure. He is sinless. And everything He speaks is truth. The second reason is because of His covenant. Now last night we were sharing a little bit of a man called Noah. And you remember whenever Noah got into the ark, and whenever whenever he obeyed God and entered the ark, whenever God gave him the great invitation, and that invitation constantly is going out to sinners that they may come to Christ. And Noah obeyed God, and he received the invitation, and he put faith in the word of God, and ultimately he was saved from the wrath of God. But when the ark came to land on Mount Ararat, and the waters recessed, and the scripture tells us that this man, Noah, left the ark. Noah did one thing to show his thanksgiving to God, and he built an altar. And he was thanking God for God's presence with him. He was thanking God for God. The altar meant that he was thanking God for His presence. The altar also meant he was thanking God for His promise that He was with him. He was thanking God for His provision, that God had met His every need. And for those of us who are God's people, unsurely when we draw near to God, our hearts ought to be filled with thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. There should be this sense of thanksgiving. Lord, you have provided for me today. You have met my need today. Lord, as we think of the fact, Lord, as we come to thanksgiving, we thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today, because you've told us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. Even though we may go through valleys and dark times and patches in our lives where it might seem that God is far from us, the truth is that God said he would never leave his people nor never forsake his people. We thank him for his presence, we thank him for his provision, and we also thank him as well, just even that we have his precious word. But there, whenever Noah was outside the ark and he built this altar, we're told that God made this covenant with man, made this promise, this binding agreement. And in Genesis chapter 9 it says, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I have made between me and you and every living creature for perpetual generations. I do set a bow which is known as a rainbow, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth." And that day God made a covenant between not just between him and Noah, but between him and every generation that would follow after Noah. And this, what we know as a rainbow, and every time we see one, whether it be out driving the car or for a walk and we see this rainbow, it's a token of God's promise, it's a token of God's covenant that he would never ever destroy the earth by a flood again. Now that is the wonderful truth about God. The fact is that his promises always stand firm. And maybe tonight as you sit and you listen to my voice, you're sitting in this congregation, and I want to say to you that the promises of God are still as rich and are still as true today as they ever were. The wonderful fact is, here he promises, he said these words, he promises to you as a sinner who are outside of Christ, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." His promise to you this evening is simple: "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Because his promise is true, dear sinner, you can come and you can trust him as your own and personal Savior. So the first thing I want to leave with you tonight is the first impossible thing that our God is it's impossible for our God to lie. The second thought I want to leave with you, which is impossible for our God to do, is it's impossible for him to let sin into his presence. The scripture tells us, "Who can ascend, or who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall dwell in that holy place, or stand in that holy place? Said he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, not lift up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth he meditate day and night." He says, who can ascend the place where God dwells? Who can actually stand in his presence? Because the fact is that God cannot let sin into his presence. You say to me, well, if you're a sinner, how can you enter into the presence of God? For example, you say as a preacher, as a Christian, first and foremost, that you can enter into the presence of God through prayer. Well, the fact is, if any Christian, all Christians, those who are born of the Spirit of God, those whose lives have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, have every right to enter into the presence of God. And it's not because of themselves, but it's because of the righteousness of Christ, which has been imputed to us. Because the scripture says that we're justified by faith. That was the great text of Martin Luther, that which opened his eyes, that which caused this man who craved and yearned for God for years and searched and searched and searched, and he read his Bible, and as he come to this text of scripture, it was like manna to his soul, and it just showed him his need. This dear Roman Catholic priest who was constantly searching for God, and here was this man, and he reads these words, "The just shall live by faith." And dear sinner, every man and woman of God can approach God and call him his Father, but are invited to come boldly onto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can stand in the presence of God not because of ourselves, but because of the righteousness of Christ which has been imputed to us. And as the children of God, we have every right to call upon God. But it leaves us with an issue, because if God cannot let sin into his presence, we ask the question, what is sin then? Well, here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of it all." See, sin is not just breaking God's law, but it's transgressing against God's known law. And even though I might be able to keep 10 of the commandments, or 9 of the commandments, and yet break one of them, I'm guilty of breaking all of God's law. That's what the scripture tells me. And even though I may be able to keep as many of them as I think I can, and yet offend God in one of them, that means there's a blot on my book. That means that my heart is, I cannot come into the presence of God because my sin is separating him from me, me from him. You say, what's the hope for me? Well, dear sinner, this evening, there is only one hope, and it's through Jesus. Because he only is your righteousness. He only can be your righteousness. And it's only as you come to him and seek him can he impart his righteousness to you. You remember there was a rich ruler who came to Jesus one day and he says, good master, what must I do that I might have eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments, keep all the commandments, honor your father and mother, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy and so forth. And this rich young ruler, he says, well, Lord, all these things have I kept from my youth. And Jesus didn't call him a liar. He didn't say, now, young man, just hold on here, just hold your tongue now, for I know your heart and I see your heart. Jesus didn't call him a liar. So in many ways, he must have been a very religious and righteous young, self-righteous young man. And yet Jesus said, one thing thou lackest, just one. Go sell all you have and give to the poor. You know what the young man's problem was? It was himself. Because he wasn't willing to sacrifice what he had for others. And maybe the one thing, the one sin that is hindering you from getting right from God with God is self, because you're unwilling to humble yourself before God. You're unwilling to acknowledge that you've sinned, you've broken the law of God, you've transgressed, and you're guilty of breaking all. Not just as sin breaking and transgressing God's known law, but sin is also not seeking after God. We're told in the book of Chronicles, it says that he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You know, there's many good people in this world. There are many self-righteous people in this world. There are many church people in this world and church-attending people. But let me say to you that all these things do not mean that we have sought God. Isaiah the prophet said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the righteous man his thoughts and let him return unto the Lord, for he will abundantly pardon unto our God. And Isaiah says these words because there are men who are living and who are listening to the word of God but are not willing to seek God. There are men who are hearing the voice of God and their hearts are being touched by the Spirit of God and their eyes are being opened by the Holy Ghost through the word of God, but they're not... They're resisting the Spirit of God in their lives. They're unwilling to yield to God. And because of it, they're sinning against God. Now tell me tonight, have you sought him? Are you seeking him? My wife and I were, or I was doing a meeting one night, and this man gave us a CD. This converted Roman Catholic priest, Richard Bennett was his name. And I was literally enthralled. I got the CD in, and my wife and I put it in. We were going to Coleraine for a bit of a run, and we put it in the car, and we began, and we listened to it. And I listened to a man who had been brought up as a child, and who in his home, just I think around Dublin, where his parents had prayed and said the rosary every evening, they were such a religious family. He went off to study the Roman Catholic faith, and he went to Cork, and he went to Dublin, and then from Dublin he went to Rome to become like a sort of a professor of Catholicism. And while he was there, he saw many immoral acts, and he just couldn't stand it anymore. But he was constantly yearning for God. And then as he began to seek God's word, God began to reveal truth to him. And as he began to reveal truth to him, then, dear soul, then it was whenever this truth was revealed, he started seeking for God. And sinner, maybe as you've been coming along to this congregation Sunday after Sunday, as your pastor has been preaching the word of God, this truth, the truth of God's word has been revealing to you your need, revealing to you your lostness, revealing to you your emptiness. And God in his grace and his mercy has been showing you just how lost you really are. And ultimately it's not because of the fact that something your pastor has said, it's because God has been speaking through him to you for the purpose that you would seek God for yourself. Now let me ask you tonight, have you sought him? And do you know him? I'm not asking you, do you know about religion? I'm not asking you, do you know about church? I'm not asking you, do you know about the format of religious systems? I'm not asking you those things at all. I'm asking you, have you done what the prophet Isaiah said? Have you sought the Lord while he is to be found? Have you called upon him while he's near? And if you're listening this evening, can I say to your soul, listen, if you have, at this present stage, if this has not been your case, and this is not the case in your life, and as yet you haven't sought God, and maybe there's not even the desire in your heart to seek God, can I say something to you? Take time tonight in your own quietness and say a prayer and say, look, Lord, come and put a desire in my heart for you. Not for religion or not for being caught up in some religious type of system, but give me this desire. Put a desire in my heart to seek first you, Lord, more than anything else. That I might be right with you, Lord, because there's nothing else will matter in that last days. Nothing else will matter, Lord. It'll not matter where I hung my coat up on a Sunday or my hat up on a Sunday. It'll not matter, Lord, how much money I give to the poor. It'll not matter if I've emptied my pockets and give it all away to people in need. It'll not matter how generous I've been, and all these things are good things. But the fact is, folks, none of these things will save us. None of these things will redeem us. None of these things will even get us a second in heaven. There's only one way you can get to heaven, and it's through Jesus. There's only one door, and he was the one. He is the one. And he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And when you seek him, and when you find him, you'll know that he's yours. This God that I read about in John 3 and 16 is not only a God, yes, who's holy and pure and just and who's awesome beyond all imagination, but he's a God who cannot lie. He's a God who cannot let sin go unpunished. But I'll tell you, dear soul, he's a God who cannot help but loving you. He just cannot stop loving you. There's nothing that you can do today that will make him love you any more or any less. You say, how do I know that? Because he has loved us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he has drawn us. See, his love is everlasting. Now, we find that, and it's very hard for our minds to comprehend this everlasting love, because we have nothing that we can hold with our hands that is everlasting. You know, you get married, and those of you who've got married, you're all looking pretty miserable tonight. It's the single ones that are all looking so happy. But you get married, and you get a wee. The day has now come when you get wedding lists, and you put out your wedding lists, and maybe you'll get a toaster and maybe a kettle, and maybe you'll get a washing machine, and all these electrical gadgets, but they're not everlasting. Indeed, they're not one bit of them, because I can assure you, you'll get that. Maybe you'll buy a kettle, and you maybe boil them for a year, or maybe 2 years, or maybe 3 years, and before you know it, the old kettle will stop working. You maybe get a washing machine, and you'll get 5 years out of it. My wife and I bought one not so long ago, and it's the biggest load of rubbish I've ever bought in my life. But anyway, and I'll never buy another. It's not I'll never buy another washing machine. I'll just make sure I buy a good one the next time. But it's not an everlasting machine. But listen to your soul. The love of God is everlasting. It's never going to come to an end. Never going to come to an end. Not just is it everlasting and never ending, but thank God, his love is for everyone. Because I can't read, as I read in the Bible, I can't even see one man that he didn't love. Or one woman that he didn't care for. Or one child that he didn't show compassion towards. when the disciples, these men who should have known better, these men who were meant to be this, were the learners of his day and were learning at his feet, when the children were coming and the mothers were bringing the young ones, man, the disciples, they said, away you, go away, you young one. Take them children away. Don't be bothering this holy man, this God the Son. Don't be bothering him. You know, time for the wee ones. And Jesus rebuked them. He says, suffer little children to come with me. He says, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Such was his love for them. I see his love now for the children. See his love for the immoral woman. When many of us, now many of us, and to our shame as the people of God, many of us, we would walk to the other side of the street if we met such a woman today. Come into our churches and, man, we'd leave her sitting on her own. Because we're not like that woman. We haven't been doing, we haven't had 3 or 4 or 5 husbands now living with another man. Man, we'd be, oh, do you see so-and-so? Do you see her? Man, do you see the cut of her? The life that she's living, the moral life she's living. Imagine getting to such a state. Why would such a woman do such a thing? And the Savior meets her now and finds her at a well. Sees the woman's heart. Sees the fact that her immoral lifestyle has just brought her emptiness and heartache and grief and misery. He says, would you give me a drink? He says. He says, but why would you get a drink of me? And he says, but I can give you a drink. I can give you water whereby you would never thirst again. That's what I have been looking for. Oh my, something to satisfy this inner yearning, this inner longing in my being. My life has been empty for years. Maybe tonight your life's empty. You and there are people this evening in Ballymena, and to fill that emptiness, they're going to the bottom of a glass. And to fill that emptiness, they're going to the bottom of a syringe. And to fill that emptiness, they're going to places of immorality. Because there's a yearning for peace. And maybe in your heart of hearts, you're just yearning more than anything for the peace of God. Yearning for happiness. True contentment. What I'm saying to you tonight, in the name of Jesus, the only way and the only place you'll find it is in this man Jesus, who's not just loved with an ever, whereby he's not just loved us with an everlasting love, but thank God, this love no one has excluded, and that includes you. Tell me tonight, have you received this love? This love that is described and is really written in 5 letters, C-H-R-I, maybe 6 C-H-R-I-S-T, 6 letters, Christ. This love was demonstrated at the cross. This love is still demonstrated in eternity. But this love God wants to put in your heart. He cannot lie. He cannot let sin into his presence. He cannot help but loving you. But can I say something to you? He cannot. And he will not forgive you unless you accept his son. Dear sinner, we simply go back to where we were at yesterday morning and last evening. You've got to come. You've got to come. It's not enough to know the gospel in your head. It's not enough to be able to proclaim the gospel with your tongue. And there are many within our province who
who are sitting in pubs tonight, and they could preach sermons. There was a man who lived in Magherafelt, and sadly, drink had just ruined his life. And while he was drunk one evening, he went to see one of our local politicians who had a police bodyguard. And this man who was full of drink began to preach to this man, this policeman, the gospel and tell him about his need of salvation. That was the last sermon that policeman ever heard, because that policeman had been killed. And he'd heard the gospel through the lips of an alcoholic. It's not enough, folks, to know it in your head. It's not enough to be able to proclaim it with your lips. You gotta get it in your heart. You gotta get Christ in your life. And the only way you'll get him is by coming to him, by calling upon him, by repenting of your sin, and by seeking him. Let me ask you tonight, truthfully and honestly, do you know him? Can you leave this meeting this evening and say without any doubt, listen, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If not, you can. Say, how, Nigel? A, B, C, and D. A, I admit that I'm a sinner. B, I believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for sinners, but he died for my sin. C, I confess my sin to no other man. But I confess my sin to Jesus only. And I repent of them. And I call upon him. And the word of God tells me, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Young or old, and all in between. And D, be determined that which you have prayed and that which you have sought God is not just something whereby in a week's time you just determine to read and pray on a daily basis, determine to get yourself into an evangelical fellowship where you can grow in grace. Determined to put God first and everything else second. Now, can I ask you tonight, wherever you might be, have you come to this great God of heaven who has sent the Son to be the propitiation for our sins, but not just for our sins only, but also for the sins of the world, to be your Redeemer, that he might buy you back, that he might bring you into the family, that family of God, whereby you could be able to say without any doubt, I am his and he is mine. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, again we just lovingly ask and pray that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and bring lost men and women to yourself. Help souls this evening to see their need. Help souls to cry unto thee. And bring men and women to saving faith in Jesus, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again, please, and we're going to stand as we sing number 333. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. And he can lift you tonight, wherever you are. Don't think you've gone too low. There's none gone too low. And I tell you, there's none too high. You'll see that in John 3 and John 4. John 3 was Nicodemus, who was religious. John 4 was this woman, you could say, in the gutter. And this man who was religious needed Christ. And this woman who was in the gutter needed Christ. And they all came to level ground. And they humbled themselves. And they sought Jesus. Seek him and be wise tonight. Let's stand as we worship, please.
Bring our service to a close this evening. We pray, dear God, that you would bless the word of God this evening. And Lord, it will be used mightily as a mighty tool in your hand. Take us to our homes in safety. And Father, for those tonight who in the quietness of their heart have heard the voice of God speaking and calling and drawing them to himself, to yourself, Lord, we ask you, Father, Lord, please be patient. We know you are, but help souls to be wise and to seek thee. So, Lord, continue to be with us as we look to thee in faith. Most of all, as we have asked, Lord, will you bless your word? And, Lord, will you bring people and take people to the cross? In the lovely name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless you, one and all. Thank you.